Joseph. Genesis 39. That's an 80 time for another brother to share, but just Genesis chapter 39, verse 4. And Joseph found favor. Oh, sorry, go ahead. Verse 4. And Joseph found favor in his eyes and attended on him, and he set him over his house. And all that he had, he gave into his hand. And it came to pass from the time he had set him over his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and took cognizance of nothing with him, save the bread that he ate. And Joseph was of a beautiful form and of a beautiful countenance. In this passage, I think we have a picture of faithfulness that is so beautiful and reminds us of the Lord Jesus. Joseph was the son of his father's love and had been favored by his father and had been faithful to his father in all that his father had asked. And yet, he was unjustly treated by his brothers. He was mistreated by them and ultimately sold as a slave to the Egyptians. It's hard to imagine how this affected Joseph. You can put yourself in his shoes and just think what a miserable experience this was, to go from being loved and favored in a home to being a complete stranger and a slave, unknown by anyone and rejected by all. When Joseph approached his brothers initially in the wilderness, their thought was, "There he is, let's kill him." And it reminds me of the scripture that says about the Lord Jesus, "He came to his own, and his own received him not." And I think we have Joseph here presented as a type of Christ. We don't have all of his feelings and thoughts. No doubt they would have been very similar to ours. But what we have is his conduct and character in the land of Egypt. And that character, the character he displayed in Egypt, is the same character he displayed in his father's house. So that Joseph found favor in the eyes of Potiphar. And Joseph did his work so faithfully and so well, and not just well in the sense of skillfully, but diligently, not with eye service, but he did this work with all his heart. And because Joseph was first and foremost faithful to God, he blessed him. God blessed him. And that blessing and Joseph's faithfulness caused Potiphar to ultimately put Joseph in charge of everything he had. And I love the way it's worded here in verse 6, at least in the way Darby puts it. Potiphar took cognizance of nothing with him, save the bread that he ate. This is the epitome of faithfulness, the height of faithfulness. To be able to give something to another and just let him handle it without any oversight whatsoever. In our world today, everything has checks and balances. If you work for a company that lets you make business expenses, you need to submit a receipt and you need to document what that expense was for. And when a teacher sends the report card home, they want mom and dad to sign it and give it back to the teacher so the teacher knows that mom and dad actually saw the report card and the kid didn't hide it. And if you consider for a minute what Potiphar's role was, you'll see how significant this action was by such a man. Potiphar was the captain of Pharaoh's bodyguard. You could think of him as being like the head of the Secret Service in the U.S. Whatever security procedures existed at that time or technology existed, Potiphar had the best of the best. It would have been very easy for Potiphar to have some system in place so that everything Joseph did could be checked up on, make sure that his interests were being upheld. And Potiphar had so much confidence and trust in Joseph that he basically said, Joseph, I don't need to check on what you have under your control. He didn't, according to this verse, he didn't even require from Joseph any sort of account statements like we get from the bank or a retirement account or whatever it is. He didn't even need to know how things were progressing month to month or quarter to quarter or year to year. The only thing Potiphar took note of was the bread that he ate. And I believe this means that he himself, Potiphar himself, ate. As long as, whenever he wanted food, he could summon and there it was. He always had refreshment available to him at any time because of Joseph's faithfulness. You also get the impression that Potiphar didn't have to give detailed instructions to Joseph. That Joseph knew what was good for Potiphar's house, and he did that without being told any specifics. And just what a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here. He could say, I do always the things that please my Father. Even as a child, he would say, didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? He was always one that cared for the interests of another. He would say to his accusers at one point, if I glorify myself, then that glory is nothing, but I glorify the one who sent me. And like in the type that we have with Joseph, the Lord Jesus' motivation did not come in any way, shape, or form from his environment.
यीशुको कुरासँग हामी तुलना गरे भने प्रभु यीशु क्राइस्ट कहिले पनि उहाँ वरिपरिको कुराले प्रभावित हुनु भएन तर जहिले पनि माथिको कुराले केन्द्रित हुनुभयो भन्ने कुरा हामी देख्छौँ.
He was never doing what he did to gain any sort of favor with those that were around him here on earth. To the point where even one of the unbelievers who would question him would preface his question with, "We know that you don't respect anyone's person."
कस्तो प्रकारको प्रथमता उहाँले दिनुभयो जसले चाहिँ उनीहरू प्रभुलाई भन्थे कि तपाईँले कुनै मान्छेको त्यो कमी के भन्छ भन्ने कुरोको नजर गर्नुहुन्न सबैले एक समान तपाईँले न्याय गर्नुहुन्छ भन्ने.
The Lord Jesus Christ's sole motivation was to do the will of his Father.
प्रभु यीशुको उत्प्रेरणा अर्थात् प्रेरणा चाहिँ के थियो भन्दाखेरि
He would describe it in John 4 as, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." His determination to accomplish the will of the Father was his nourishment and his fuel. And nothing negative, nothing bad that happened to the Lord Jesus shook him in any way, shape, or form from that determination. If you take a look at just one example in John chapter 18, In John chapter 18, it begins with the guards coming to arrest the Lord Jesus. Verse 10 says, just to read verse 10 and 11, Simon Peter, therefore, having a sword, drew it, and smote the bondman of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And the bondman's name was Malchus. Jesus therefore said to Peter, "Put the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it?"
यसुले पुष्टि गर्नुभयो तर मेनबाट हाल के तपाईँले मलाई दिनुभएको कचौराबाट म नपिउँ.
The Lord Jesus answered to Peter when Peter tries to save him out of a horrible, what will turn out to be a very horrible situation, is, "I'm doing this in obedience to my Father." Neither his friends nor his enemies could affect his actions in this world. Thinking back to Joseph for a second, he could have been motivated by a desire to buy his freedom or achieve some level of status in the new society that he was forced to live in. But we don't see that at all in his life. Even when he was falsely accused and slandered, he committed himself to God instead of fighting for his own, to clear his own name. Just if we can see these features in type in the life of Joseph, a man of faith, but a man who lacked the Holy Spirit in the way that we have it today. What an encouragement it is to us to know that you and I who have faith in Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians tells us we have the mind of Christ. And yet Philippians says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That mind of Christ that was completely set on the will of God, we have that mind by the Holy Spirit. But we need to practically let that mind be in us. I guess we're going to study some saints in the New Testament who displayed faithfulness, the same faithfulness that we could see in Joseph and the saints of old. And the encouragement is that those men in the New Testament and women in the New Testament, they're just like us. And their model, the one that they were trying to imitate, is the same one that we're trying to imitate. I'll stop here, but I just wanted to just meditate on those features in the Lord Jesus, how his life was wholly given over to God, and the reality that that principle that operated in his life, we have that by the Holy Spirit in us. Amen.
Just a very brief word. In the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 16. I'm going to read the first word. Knowing. Just knowing. Yes. Knowing. What do you know about what the Lord Jesus Christ has offered you in this word? The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans very clearly that we are all sinners. And there is not one righteous. There is nothing in us that is good enough to dwell in the presence of God. Our brother mentioned the saints that we will be looking at in a few moments. None of them was righteous. None of them was good enough in themselves to be saved, to be pleasing to God. So my question is, what do you know about what the Bible teaches about what the Lord Jesus has done? So let's continue in this verse. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. In Galatians 2:16. So, having nothing within ourselves, we read of in this first phrase the law. The law being given to show what God required. But man could not live up to God's requirements. And thus we find us as none righteous and not being justified by the works of the law. Sorry. But we thank God. We are not justified by the works of the law. But the next phrase says, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. The faithfulness of Christ that we have spoken of this morning, which was intrinsic in his character, has been expressed to us and offered to us in the form of salvation. So we believe in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Saints, this is a blessed truth. His faith, his faithfulness to God. Which was fully demonstrated on the cross. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ proved, undoubtedly, he was faithful to God. So my question again remains, do you know this? Do you know that he, in his faith for God, has given his life for you, for each of us, on the cross? So it says in Ephesians that we are saved by grace through faith. So I'd ask you, if you have not yet, please put your trust in this blessed one. Through his faith, we can be saved.
हामीले पनि उहाँको विश्वासद्वारा प्रभुमाथिको विश्वासद्वारा हामीले सित्तैमा उद्धार मुक्ति पाउनको लागि त्यो भरोसा विश्वास हामी राख्नुपर्छ
For his name's sake.
उहाँको नामको लागि